It is Shirley Jackson Day, commemorating the day her famous story, The Lottery, was published in the New Yorker magazine. We welcome Susan Scarf Merrill, whose new novel is Shirley, a psychological thriller set at Bennington College in the 1960s. A young woman who moves with her professor husband into the home of novelist Shirley Jackson and Jackson's husband, Stanley Edgar Hyman, narrate the book. She uncovers a chilling connection between the celebrated couple and the disappearance of a young co-ed on campus years before. Again, the title of the novel is Shirley. It is published by Blue Rider Press, and we welcome Susan Scarf Merrill to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here.
It is a delight to have you with us. So where did your love or interest in writing about Shirley Jackson come from?
So, you know, I almost think there was a mystical thing happening in terms of my discovering Shirley. I went up to graduate school at Bennington, the Bennington Writing Seminars, in the mid-2000s, and I was working with a professor, and she suggested that I read Shirley Jackson for reasons not having to do with Bennington at all, because she also did not know that Jackson had lived in Bennington.
Right.
And I started reading Shirley. I fell in love with all of her work. And one day I thought, I don't know why, I'm going to go down to the Library of Congress. I'm going to read her papers. I'm going to go through her journals. Maybe I'll write a biography. I don't really know. And I went down there and I started reading the love letters that Shirley and Stanley wrote to one another, you know, when they met in 1938 at Syracuse. These incredible, just body, funny, smart, connected, intimate letters, and I just fell in love with both of them. And then I thought, oh, well, maybe I'll write a biography of them, and no, I'm not really that kind of person. And then I started working on a Why Do I Love Shirley Jackson kind of memoir, and one day I was in the woods walking my dog, and all of a sudden, I saw this character of Rose. She sort of came to me a fully finished human, and I realized that she was the person who was flawed enough and crazy enough to see the things that I wanted to write about, and the novel just happened. I mean, it was really magical. It just really came out of the existence of this fictional person, Rose.
Since this is in our region, and I know there will be purists who will make the distinction, I want to make it as well, which is she lived in North Bennington.
No,
that's fine. And it's Bennington. It's still Bennington. But it is North Bennington. And the house is fascinating because when you look at it, she described she would write about this place of the pillars in front being slightly askew. And they still are. And it still has that kind of mysterious air to it. And if you were to envision a house that Shirley Jackson, who wrote The Lottery, lived in, that would be the house, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And the house that I use in my novel is actually the house that they were living in at the time that The Lottery was written. It's closer to campus than the house they were living in, actually, in 1964, an equally spooky house. But I made this decision, you know, I made many decisions about fact and fiction in the writing of this book. I really, once I decided to play with that idea, I really allowed those things to evolve the way they would in the world of the story. So it is not the actual, it is the Lottery house, not the 1964 house, and it very much, you can picture Shirley leaving the house with her stroller, going down to Powers Market, getting the idea for The Lottery, and pushing the stroller back up the hill, as she apparently did, and, you know, writing that story in a 3 or 4 hour burst and never changing a word except the date, because the New Yorker wanted her to change the date to the date of publication.
When you took on this project, and you mentioned the letters and how funny they were, she wrote some wonderful memoir and autobiography that was just stunning, which unfortunately I guess some of it's in print, but not a lot.
Oh no, it's all in print.
It's all in print now.
Yeah, Penguin has actually released everything, I believe. And then anything that's not there is in the Library of America volume edited by Joyce Carol Oates. So there are some short stories that have never been published before that are coming out next year. But everything that has that was in publication is in publication now.
And it's wonderful stuff. I mean, it's Life Among Savages and a couple of others, just some incredible stories. So what I know about her kind of familial life or family life is from those stories. Mm-hmm. And your novel veers from that a little bit.
Yeah, So the way that I worked and the way that I work in general, I took the actual factual limitations of her life, when she was born, where she lived, who she was married to, when she died, the number of children, the books she wrote, and then I worked with the biography that had been written about her by Judy Oppenheimer. And ideas and dreams and letters that I found in the archive. But one of the things that Shirley said in a wonderful essay that she wrote about that's called Experience and Fiction, and it's actually published in the same volume that the lottery story is found in most easily right now. So in this essay called Experience and Fiction, she said, "The only thing that matters is that it be true in the world of the story and have happened there." And for me, for most writers, the world that you create, it has to be plausible within that world. But I think anybody who knows anything about Jackson's life knows that that outside the world of my novel, it's exceedingly unlikely that she did some of the things that are in the book. Do you know?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, to call this a biographical novel is unfair. It really is more of an homage to what she did and the kinds of things that she did, for example, with the Paula Weldon case, the girl who went missing from Bennington College in 1946, who Jackson wrote about a number of times in different stories and novels.
Right.
And this was the kind of thing that she did, what I did.
And you wanted it to be a thriller.
Yeah. Well, it just happened that way because Rose got to the house, and Rose, the character, began to, she had just finished reading the Haunting of Hill House, and she really began to see the world inside the Jackson Hyman home as a world like the world of Hill House. So that's less me than Rose, though I understand what I understand the part I played.
Right. What do you find fascinating about now that this project is complete and having immersed yourself into this life and then putting your own spin on it in a novel form? What do you take away? What's the takeaway for you about this woman and her talent?
So I guess the thing that I feel most compelled to say is that even though it's clear in my book and in the Oppenheimer biography and when you read the letters that they had an imperfect relationship, to me, what Shirley and Stanley had has a real beauty and validity and integrity. And I would hate for anybody to look at this marriage and say, oh, she's judging it as bad, because I think they had a phenomenal connection. I think they were great parents. I think they were great for each other. But over the course of a long and complicated life between two very creative, bright people, imperfect things happened. You know, and partly as a function of the time that they lived and the place that they lived, a college campus in the 50s and 60s, and a girls' college in particular. The thing I would like everybody to take away is that I think they had a kind of a phenomenal marriage. I just don't think it's romantic by the standards of a particular kind of view of marriage, which is that you get married and you are always good and nothing bad ever happens.
Well, it's a fascinating novel. I enjoyed it thoroughly. It is entitled Shirley, a novel. It is published by Blue Rider Press. Susan Scarf Merrill, thank you so much for joining us and sharing the story with us. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you so much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.